Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. It is easy to forget the current federal election is not just about the party leaders. While the majority of attention focuses on them, local candidates should play an essential role when voting. At least that's the theory. Yet with all the American tariffs and threats to Canada, it is understandable. Still, there are local issues. Qualifications, affordability, housing, and more is vital. So is asking direct questions about how local candidates will serve the residents of the Northumberland-Clark riding. Here is the third candidate interview. It is with Conservative candidate Philip Lawrence. The order of airing is determined by when the campaigns scheduled their interviews. The Conservatives were third. I'm so pleased to have with me today Conservative candidate Philip Lawrence. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'd like to begin by talking about the dynamics of this campaign. You are out talking to voters. What is the vibe you're getting when you're knocking on doors?
Yeah, no, thanks, Rob. That's a great question. We've been out there on quite a few doors, talked to thousands of residents. Overall, you know what, like this is still Canada. It's the greatest country in the world. And people are for the most part kind, even people who vehemently disagree with you, who are on the complete other side of the political spectrum. I had one very nice conversation with a liberal, and I'm not sure if you guys remember, but I think it was last weekend when there was freezing rain. I looked a little bit like a drowned rat. They brought me in, offered me some tea and some coffee, and we talked a little bit about our differences. We shook hands, and we had a great conversation. But overall, the what we're hearing from the majority of residents is that the last 10 years have been really, really tough, right? So, I mean, I can throw all the macroeconomic stats at you, but it really becomes real when you're talking to people. I've talked to a number of adults who are living at their parents' house, and they've done all the right things, right? These are folks who have gotten a trade, who have gone to university, and are busting their humps to make the best of their lives. But they're continuing to struggle because they can't afford a house and they can't start a family and all the challenges that come with that. And so people are really looking for hope. So it's exciting to be out there and perhaps be on the precipice of perhaps delivering some of that hope.
This year, your party was holding a commanding lead over the other parties, and that has changed. It's now a very tight race, both nationally and locally, depending on how you read the polls. When you look at the 338canada.com, it shows Liberals are within striking distance in Northumberland Clark. By that I mean it is within the margin of error, which is 8 points. However, the odds of you winning are very high. How is your campaign responding to this tighter race locally?
Yeah, no, that's another great question, Rob. So, in 2019, we were actually favored to lose, according to 338. And so, I remember those challenges. And even in 2021, where we ended up winning by, I think, about 10, 11 points, we were at points at parity with the other side. But, you know, I really try not to let those things affect me. I want to stay focused on the residents of Northumberland, what will be Northumberland Clark, and what was Northumberland Peterborough South, and having those discussions. And it's really an opportunity for me to hear what people are having to say. And I like to sign off most of my interviews, as it's a privilege and honor to serve. And this is the opportunity where I get to hear people and find out how I should be serving them. So we're going to work as hard as we can. I was given a great advice by by a former now retired politician who said, you know what, Phil, go out there and campaign every day like you're 2% behind. And that's what we're going to do. And we'll continue to work as hard as we can. And we'd be honored and privileged to once again serve the people if that's their choice.
That's really interesting, because I would suggest to you that maybe social media has turned into a real septic tank. And with all the misinformation and disinformation out there, how do you get your message out to people?
No, that's another great question, Rob. Really appreciate that. We try to do as many sort of unscripted, real type of posts as we can. Even when I give speeches, it's very much from my heart, and try to be as genuine and as sincere as I can. Because people are tired of hearing talking points. I think you're right there, Rob. But I think the way that you break through that is by bringing real life examples and making it as genuine and as real as possible, right? That's why I enjoy listening to your podcast, Rob, because you keep it genuine, you keep it real, right? Like, there's lots of podcasts on there, but there's lots of podcasts that simply sort of regurgitate various parties' talking points. It's when you get past that and get into people's real concerns that I think that people get more attentive to what you're saying.
In the off chance that someone is new to the area or has just joined this riding, who is Philip Lawrence?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, the first thing I would say is if the best thing you can do is to ask your neighbors if you haven't heard who I am. And I'm very privileged to have worked to have the best community, I think, in the entire world here in Northumberland, Peterborough South, now Northumberland Clark. But I'm a very proud dad of two wonderful children, an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old, an 11-year-old whose hockey team went 46-1, the Durham Crusaders, and is a goaltender, and a beautiful, wonderful, intelligent daughter who just competed in Port Hope at the Capitol Theater at a dance competition where she received platinum, gold, and high gold awards for her dances. I'm a committed husband, as well as completely committed to our community and to making our country the best possible place to live.
What did you do before you became a politician?
Yeah, I worked. I worked for Sun Life Financial. I worked for a decade there, and before that, I practiced law. I'm a lawyer by training, and also did my MBA at the Schuller School of Business. And so, that's a little bit about me.
What do you do for fun?
Right. So, you know what I do, which is any moms or dads that are in the same sort of vintage and section of life that I am, I'm sure will be able to understand. I drive my kids places. That's what I do for fun. And in all seriousness, I take my son to his hockey games and sit there in cold arenas and drink my Tim Hortons and talk to my fellow hockey dads about the comings and goings of our community. And then I hang out with the dance moms at the various dance competitions and we hang out and we talk about the upcoming dance competitions and whether and how the choreo is going. Not choreography, it's choreo. All the dance moms and dads will get that, and we look forward to the next competition and watching our children grow.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Okay, this is where I have to make a confession, Rob. Okay, you might want to, I'm not sure if you're recording right now, but you want to make sure that you're recording right now here. So, for those folks who know me well, I'm a little bit nerdy. It is who I am. And so anytime that Star Trek is on, it was very bad for me. It was very good. I'm normally a pretty productive guy. I like to get the most in the day, but when they put Star Trek on Netflix, that was troublesome for me. So I have a little bit of a Star Trek addiction, and I'm confessing to this to the whole world right now. And it doesn't matter whether it is the Jean-Luc Picard version or the William Shatner version. I am completely addicted to Star Trek.
Let's talk about some of the issues. There is a lot of focus on the party leaders in this election, and with good reason, due to the tariffs and affordability. But people are trying to decide who's the best to lead the country in a time of crisis. What do you bring to the table that qualifies you to be sent to Ottawa on behalf of the voters of this riding to deal with these complex times?
Thank you. Thank you very much. As we went over my CV a bit, of course, I've had the privilege and the blessing of being educated at some of the best educational facilities in Canada, including, of course, Osgoode Hall Law School, Schulich School of Business. I've had the opportunity to work in finance. And then for the last 5 years, I've served as the Member of Parliament here. And so I've had a number of different roles, including Shadow Minister for Transportation, which was my most recent role, Shadow Minister for Economic Development, Shadow Minister for National Revenue. And so I've gotten a good understanding over that time of how government works and to develop the ideas that will be useful for hopefully Prime Minister Poilievre in order to negotiate, in order to push back against the economic attack from down south. I would also say that, Rob, that in kindergarten I earned the moniker of plays well with others, and I have kept that going. We had three private members' bills, one to help charities, one for furtherance of human rights, and one to help farmers. Two of those three had the support of the NDP and the Green Party, and the third actually had the support of the Liberals, the NDP and the Green Party. And in fact, my bill to help charities was liked so much that the Liberals actually rolled it into their budget. And so if they want to keep stealing my ideas, I'll buy it. But there aren't many folks who have been in opposition who've had pieces of legislation actually come into law. And we've accomplished that through the Liberals utilizing our ideas on charities. And so whether we're in government or whether we're in opposition, I'm going to be a steadfast voice for the people of Northumberland and Clark, in addition to getting things done, even from the opposition benches, if that is the will of people.
But when you think about it, Philip, the situation with the Americans is highly volatile. I mean, there's a lot of chaos trying to figure out what's going to come up next. So how does your experience match up for dealing with this challenge of never knowing what's going to happen next?
Yeah, no, in my 5 years I've been through, we've seen a lot of things happen, right? So I can still remember actually being in the chamber when we had just started in the sphere. That was 2019, so 2020, my apologies, spring of 2020, when we were watching on the TVs as they were shutting down Italy because of COVID-19, right? And thinking, oh my goodness, that can't come here, can it? And of course, it did. And I remember being there actually in the chamber when we all voted to press pause on Parliament. And a while, if you actually look back, Rob, at the footage there, you can see the benches on both sides were all congregated together. I remember actually commenting to the other individual saying, "Well, shouldn't we be spreading out?" It was so early in COVID that we were unaware of the protocols and what was required for COVID. So in my time as the Member of Parliament for Northumberland, Peterborough South, we've seen many different challenges. And I like I said, I've had a number of different roles under different leaders, under different in different governments, trying to help. But the one thing that's my North Star is the people of Northumberland, Northumberland people South, now Northumberland Clark. And our leader, Pierre Poilievre, actually said this, and I think he said it well in caucus. If you are not starting every day and finishing every day thinking about what's most important to the folks in your community, if that's not driving you 100% of the time, then you're not doing your job as a member of Parliament. And so I'll continue to focus. I mean, at the end of the day, there's lots of distractions. There's lots of things we can't control, but I can control being a steadfast voice for the people of Northumberland and Clark and Northumberland Peterborough.
There's a lot of talk about what governing parties will do if elected to deal with affordability. And yet we continue to see prices rise. I mean, grocery prices never seem to go down. What is your party going to do to make groceries more affordable?
Yeah, no, thanks. Thank you for that. And actually, even back as early as 2019, that was a concern and an issue for me. And that's why we put forward a piece of legislation, which was to remove the carbon tax on natural gas and propane for farmers. Ultimately, if we're able to reduce the costs for farmers, will be able to reduce the costs for food. And so right from 2019, our offices were focused around trying to reduce the cost going forward. In a bigger macroeconomic issue, though, every time that a government prints money, we get inflation. It happened in Roman times when they actually split coins and they thought, you know what, here's how we can be wealthier. We'll make every coin that was one into two coins, which created inflation back for 2000 years. You know what? Quantitative easing is not actually that different from what happened in Roman times. When you hit the printing press when you flood our economy with hundreds of millions of dollars and hundreds of billions of dollars, what happens is you get each dollar becomes worth less, which creates inflation. And so we're going to have a dollar for dollar rule where, just like at your household, Rob, and I'm sure like at all the listeners' households, there is a scarcity, a finite amount of resources. And so if we want to take on a new expense, if there's a new program that we feel is important, we have to find a savings somewhere else. And that anchor, that financial anchor, will allow us to prevent the money printing presses from going crazy.
Well, which will, yeah, Philip, go ahead, Rob. That makes lots of sense. Sure, I can relate to that. We all do that at our home budget. But when you're talking about government, then you're gonna take dollars from one place and put them in another. Right. What's gonna get cut?
And we will have a fully costed platform out there. It'll be vetted by the nonpartisan parliamentary budget office. So every dollar that we show will spend. There are lots of areas where we can reduce expenditures. And so I'll rattle off a couple here. So hundreds of millions of dollars for consultants. We believe that Deloitte and others can do with a little bit less. And we fundamentally believe in our civil service and that they're more than capable of doing most of the work, and that we don't need hundreds of millions of dollars for consultants. The Asian Infrastructure Bank, also hundreds of millions of dollars that we didn't need to spend. $60 million for the Arrive scam app. $50 million for a MasterCard. $10 million or more
we know the list, but I think what's really important here, though, is that, you know, past governments have promised this, both sides of the aisle, all the parties, they promise this. And then when we get down to it, the consultants get hired. There's scandals and money gets, if you want to call it, wasted or spent in other areas. What about healthcare? Is that going to suffer? Are we going to, you know, seniors going to suffer? Who's going to pay the price to do of this besides the consultants?
So let me be clear on a couple of things. Pierre is committed to increasing healthcare spending, which is the same as the Liberal commitment in the current government. We're going to maintain healthcare spending, and we are going to make sure that seniors are actually in a better position by allowing them to earn up to $35,000 tax-free. Do you know, Rob, what do you think with clawbacks and tax rate, the full tax, including clawbacks, that a senior who earns about $25,000, $30,000, what do you think their full with clawback? Over 50%. Because GIS is clawed back at 50 cents on a dollar. And so we need to enable seniors to go out there who want to work and are able to work to make a reasonable dollar. I understand where your questions are coming, and no politician, no government has ever been perfect, and you're absolutely right. But there are degrees in life, right? And those degrees matter.
You talk about the lowest income tax bracket. Can you just, for clarification, what does that include? What is the income range that we're talking about?
For an individual who's earning $57,000 a year, they will be saving $800. So the lowest income tax bracket, I apologize, I don't have it right here, will be reduced by 2.25 points.
All right.
Which calculates out to for someone who's earning $57,000 a year, they will receive a 15% reduction on their income tax.
So that's about $900, and I think also a two income family will save about $1,800 a year.
Exactly.
But if I'm a single person living in an apartment in Northumberland, that savings maybe covers half a month's rent. So how does this help anybody?
Right. So thanks very much for that, Rob. And certainly, you know what, people are struggling out there, and this is just part of the solution. It's not the entire solution. And so we're looking at an economy which is the worst since the Great Depression. We're looking at housing prices that have doubled. And we have a plan to conquer both those things. One is to get housing prices back under control. And Pierre's got a detailed housing plan to help drive down, to help make housing more affordable for people again. And that's like, when I talk to folks in Northumberland, you're absolutely right, man, they are struggling. And even folks with quote unquote good jobs, people earning $100,000 a year, they are really struggling, Rob. And so, the tax cut is not going to solve everything, but it's certainly a great step in the right direction.
To talk about agriculture, because it's one of the largest industries in Northumberland County. Now, the current United States-Mexico-Canada agreement allowed access to certain markets that were controlled previously by supply management, much to the angst of local farmers. What guarantees can you provide that this erosion will not happen again, or possibly the removal of the supply management system?
Yeah, no, I am, as I said numerous times on the record, in fact, I actually broke ranks Pierre as well was on our side and voting for a Bloc Québécois bill to support supply management, where the bill, which unfortunately, because the Liberals stopped it, did not receive royal assent, which would prevent the trading off of supply management on other trade agreements. So 100% supportive of supply management. I will do everything in my power to make sure that supply management is protected. And I'm positive that a conservative government will do the exact same. If a Liberal government gets in power, that's, like I said, they've already got a record, as you mentioned, of trading off supply management and access to our market in exchange for other things.
I'd like to go back to agriculture for just a second, because late last year there was a public meeting of a potential sale of 1,600 acres of prime agricultural land to a developer between Cobourg and Port Hope. Farmers and others have expressed multiple times the significance of saving farmland from development. What is your position in terms of preserving agricultural land from development?
Thanks very much. And Rob, I'll be honest with you, I am not aware of the particulars of the details of the situation. So I'll just talk about the generalities. And so, you know what, politics, and you do a great job of sort of pulling this out in your interviews, Rob, it's often a battle of different priorities, right? On one hand, with the topic you've just brought up, we need homes. There's an entire generation that is desperate to get a house. On the other hand, we will need to eat, Rob. I know that's news to you for generations to come. Sorry, you're gonna say? Okay. For generations to come. I believe that we can do this intelligently. Like, I don't think that there is any bright line, any easy rule that we can say we don't develop here, we do develop here. I think that every situation is unique. In general, I want to protect as much as we can of particularly highly productive farmland. My neighbor, Charles Stevens, of course, who owns Wilmont Farms, best blueberries in all the world right there, has recently put his land into a farmland trust, which means for, I believe he said, the next 999 years, you folks can fact check me on that. I believe that's correct, because he thinks that's very important. And when you look at sort of the productive farmland, which is on the former the former seabed of what Lake Ontario was during the glacier period, right? It's the same sort of soil that the vineyards of Niagara. And I think it is of critical importance that we protect as much as that as we can. At the same time, there's many areas where we can develop and infill and grow, particularly in some of our urban areas where I think we have the potential. I'm an all of the above type of a guy. And so if we want fabricated houses, that's great. Tiny homes, that's great. We can be creative in protecting that farmland. But at the same time, we do have to look towards where possible, expanding the amount of homes that are available.
We've been talking about affordable housing earlier in our conversation. There's all these policies that we talk about, and we talk about it in generalities. What specifically do you see as being necessary in Northumberland to address this problem?
Yeah, and so I think I'll try and distill down some of the national proposals and have them and just go over what their implications will be locally. So one of the things that that Pierre has talked about and has a video even talking about today is what we call housing taxes. And so those are what is commonly referred to as development fees. We've seen a dramatic increase in development fees in Clarington's just went up, and that's part of their riding as well, and Northumberland's as well. And so we need to reduce the government take on every house. So the average house across from Canada is $250,000 in taxes. That's every door. That's the average across Canada. And now we would be slightly below that because we are not in an urban area like Toronto, and they're higher in Toronto. But Clarington's are high, and Northumberland's aren't inexpensive either. And so one of the things that we need to do is work with our municipalities to reduce those housing taxes. We're going to do our part federally. We're going to take the GST off up to a $1.3 million house. That'll save you about $50,000. It's estimated that from coast to coast that we can save up to another $50,000 by pushing down those local housing taxes, which are, like I said, commonly referred to as development fees. That's $100,000 we can reduce right off the top there. And so the other part, though, that's as much an issue, and I've talked to folks in all sectors, and everyone agrees with this. There's far too long of delays and too much red tape when it comes to building houses. So I'll give you an example. And so we had one individual who wanted to build a garage on his property, and granted it's not a house, but I think it serves the example well. And so the municipality asked for 5 different studies. Those studies cost $100,000 to do. It happened to be that he talked to his neighbor who wanted to build, I think it was a second house on his property or something like that. The municipality asked for those same studies, even though they were completely duplicative. So for another $100,000. So we can eliminate red tape. We can reduce the housing costs. We need to reduce delays, and we need to take the GST off of new homes. And a lot of this, Rob, you'll probably say, well, some of this is municipal and some of this is provincial, but we need to work with all of our partners. It's something where we've got to collaborate together, because we can't simply afford to have $250,000 go to the government for every house that gets built in Canada.
Campaign Life, a pro-life anti-abortion organization, has endorsed you each time you have run, including this time on their website. You've also online been said to have supported a petition regarding Bill 6 in 2021, which was an anti-conversion therapy legislation that was going to be passed by the Liberals. How do you respond to this information online?
Thanks. Thanks very much, Rob. So first is what I would say is, you know, I've talked to thousands of people. You know how many times abortions come up? Zero. Canadians are interested in affording housing, in affording groceries, and that's my concern. That being said, just so we can put this issue to bed, is that a Conservative government, nor myself as a member, will not put forward any legislation that would any way affect a woman's right to choose.
What about the petition regarding Bill 6, the conversion therapy legislation that was passed by the Liberals?
I voted for the conversion therapy ban. I've long since had a standard. You can look at the petitions that have out there. There are a wide variety of range. It's not my job to govern which petitions constituents want to put up there. I'm a believer in democracy. And so I've had, you can look at the petitions I've had on a wide variety of subjects. I neither endorse or support those petitions. I simply put them up as from my constituents.
If you could sit down on a couch in a voter's home who was undecided at this point, what would you say to them in 30 seconds to convince them to give you their support on election day?
Thanks, Rob. It's been the privilege and honor of a lifetime to serve as your MP for the last 5 years. I've worked hard to fight for you. As you've seen, although for the last 10 years with the Liberal government in charge, we've seen declining standards of living. We've seen increasing costs of living. Times have been tough. We've got an entire generation that's almost given up the dream of home ownership. If you believe that the best candidate can do is to be one of the worst performing economic in the OECD, to fall out of the G7, to have rising rates of crime, then you should consider giving the Liberals a fourth mandate. But if you believe in the hope, if you believe in the prosperity of Canada, if you believe in the promise of Canada, then please consider Philip Lawrence and the Conservative Party.
Philip Lawrence, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
No worries. Thanks, Rob.
That was Conservative candidate Philip Lawrence. For the full interview with bonus questions and answers, go to the Consider This Northumberland podcast on Apple or Spotify. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.